I'd like to welcome you all to our baccalaureate service for 1984. Let me just very briefly introduce the people who you see before you. Beginning at my right, first of all, who will be introduced again just before she speaks, our baccalaureate speaker, Lola Tilley. Next to her, Dr. Earl Beislein, who is Emeritus Dean and Professor of University of Alaska. Next to Earl Beislein, my good friend and confrere over the last 6 years, Father Jim Kolb, who is the pastor of St. Mark's University Catholic Parish. Next to him, Steve Cordell, who will be speaking on behalf of a Campus Christian Fellowship. Next to him, Jim Barefoot, good friend who we work together with, who is the director of Campus Christian Fellowship. And next to him is not Sandra Langland. Sandra Langland is over there. Next to her is Gary Bender. And I want to say, offer an apology to Gary Bender. I left his name out of the bulletin. And I'm very sorry for that. Gary has been our musician at United Campus Ministry for the last 3 years and done an excellent job. He will be playing for us this morning at Joyful Joyful on his 12 string. If you will stand with me, we will begin our service with the call to worship. Joyful, joyful. We adore Thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Our hearts unfold like flowers before Thee, opening to the sun above. Melt our clouds of sin and sadness, drive our dark of doubt away. Fill us, giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. Amen. Remain standing for the hymn. Just two other brief announcements. First of all, I would like to thank Lane Chesley and Steve McMillan, who were our ushers this morning. And there's one other thing, of course, that we need to do at the beginning of the service, and that is to especially welcome all of our graduates whom we honor today. And I'm going to ask if all of them will please stand at this time. All the graduates stand. I think we should do something that I don't think we do. Well, I guess we do when we're going in the procession, but I think we should give them a round of applause. Jim?
We'd like for you to join us in this musical act of praise by singing the chorus, "Love is the Reason We've Come Here." With love in our hearts, we'll go. And we'll sing it through twice. For those of you who might not know it, maybe you can catch on the first time and sing it through the second time with us. Love is the reason we've come here. With love in our hearts, we'll go. Jesus of life gave love so dear. Love is what we should show. Spirit, Spirit, give us the love we see. For all of the gifts you give to me, love is the one I need. Okay, join us in it one more time. Love is the reason we've come here. With love in our hearts we'll go. Jesus of life gave love so dear. Love is what we're to show. Spirit, Spirit, give us the love we see. For all of the gifts you give to me, love is the one I need.
Thank you.
We have a medley of three choruses to sing to you, which are made of scripture, and we believe they're scriptural instructions that would benefit the graduates as they leave this part of their life and go into their future. Listen to the words.
Commit your way unto the Lord, trust Him in all you do. Delight yourself also in Him, in Him, and He will give you the desires of your heart, the desires of your heart. Commit your way unto the Lord, trust Him in all you do. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. He shall direct your paths. If you will call unto me, if you will call unto me, if you will call unto me, I'll surely answer. I'll show you great things. I will show you mighty things. I'll show you wondrous things which thou knowest not.
Our epistle lesson this morning is taken from the 13th chapter of St. Paul's first letter to the people of Corinth. I may be able to speak the language of men and even angels, but if I have not love, my speech is no more than a noisy gong or a clanging bell. I may have the gift of inspired preaching. I may have all knowledge and understand all secrets. I may have all the faith needed to move mountains, but if I have not love, I am nothing. I may give everything away that I have and give up my body to be burned, but if I have not love, it does me no good. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or conceited or proud. Love is not ill-mannered or selfish or irritable. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. Love is not happy with evil, but is happy with the truth. Love never gives up. Its faith, hope, and patience never fail. Love is eternal. There are inspired messengers, but they are temporary. There are gifts of speaking, but they will cease. There is knowledge, but it will pass. For our gifts of knowledge and inspired messages are only partial. But when what is perfect comes, then what is partial will disappear. When I was a child, my speech, feelings, and thinking were all those of a child. But now that I am an adult, I have no more use for childish ways. What we see now is like the dim image in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. What I know now is only partial, then it will be complete as God's knowledge of me. Meanwhile, these three things remain, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. And this is the word of the Lord.
Pretty day out there. Praise the Lord for the weather we've got today for graduation. Kind of afraid we might get rained on. Anyway, today I was thinking over the week when Jim Barefoot asked me to speak to you today about what I should talk about and how I should go about giving this testimony. So I got to thinking about it. I prayed about it and kind of said, Lord, well, what do you want me to say to these people? And he kind of gave me a few ideas, and so I got a few remarks together. One thing I kind of like to talk about is they're talking about love, and I want to talk about love too, but I also want to talk about preparedness. Is how many of you are actually prepared to meet the Lord should he come tonight or tomorrow or whenever he should come? As he said in the final chapters of Mark, you don't know when I'm going to return, so watch. The story that's been going around, it was on campus on one of the newsletters from one of the groups here on campus, is imagine yourself tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock, you hear a knock at the door, you answer the door, and there's President Reagan standing on the doorstep. And you say, well, you know, if I'd have been ready, I could have been in a more better fix to meet him. Now, if I know for many years, I myself was unprepared to meet the Lord should he come. But I'm prepared now. He'd send people to witness to me, and many times I just pushed them away. Until I finally decided, Lord, I need something more than what this world can give me. I need your love. I need your forgiveness, Lord. And I receive Christ as my Savior. What I want to ask you today is have you received Christ? And if you haven't, will you? Because as part of my testimony, I testify that Christ has saved me from my sins. And if I died tonight, I'd be ready to go meet him up at the pearly gates. And I know that there are many of my friends who aren't, and I really wish and hope that they are ready to meet the Lord. Because he said, and as Paul said in, or excuse me, it wasn't Paul, it was John said in 1 John, we have an advocate before the Father should we sin. That's Jesus Christ. And I know he's up there right now in the right hand of God making intercessions for me and all those who believe on him. And if you haven't accepted God's gift of love and his gift of forgiveness, I urge you to do it now as part of your plan of salvation if eternal life is your goal.
The Lord has forgiven me, and I did some pretty rotten things when I was in the world, and I've come out of it now. So I'd like to just leave you with this closing thought as I end my remarks, and that is, if you died tonight, are you sure that you'd go to heaven and meet the rewards that God has prepared for each and every one of us who believes on Him? If you have, you're all set. If you can't answer that with a definite yes, then you really do need to pray about it and pray to the Lord and ask His forgiveness and accept Christ into your life. And I'd like to see every one of you there when the day of judgment comes and we all pass over into heaven. Thank you.
As we come now to our prayers, I want to share with you, I got a call about a week ago from a person who asked that in this service of worship, we would especially remember some people in our campus community who have died in the last year. And I got to thinking about this. That's not something that we do as a university community. And so even though it's not in our bulletin, I'd like to ask that we stop now for just a moment of silent prayer. And there are three names that I've gathered together. And if there are any other persons that you can think of who have been a part of our university community who we might remember at this special time, that I think of Ted Drain, who served in our psych department for so many years, and Irene Wickwire, who taught for the community college and who is so well known for so many of us in the community, and also Dr. Jim Crook in the WAMI program. Are there any other names we want to hold in this time of silent prayer? If there are, I'd appreciate your mentioning them. Can we hold these people in a time of silent prayer? Oh, I'm sorry.
Brian Jones.
Brian Jones, that's right.
Tom Pfeiffer.
Tom Pfeiffer.
Scott Dilley.
Now, by next year, we'll remember that this is a time in our year in which many of us are celebrating, and let us remember their lives. Shall we pray silently? Amen. Can we pray together now in unison this prayer for the graduates and then immediately our Lord's Prayer? Let us pray together. Creator of the universe, creator of the natural order, creator of the life processes, creator of humanness, creator of each one of us as persons, if we fail to have a sense of awe, when we stand before you and before life, address us more boldly until we gain that sense of awe. Be like our best professors. Stick with us until you have our attention. Creator, as we live, keep us aware that to stand still in life is to die, but to risk is to live. Keep us aware that to be absolutely certain of anything is to invite death, but to be willing to live with ambiguity, to choose among uncertain options, is to invite the fullness of life and to live by faith. Creator, as we live, help us to know that to only react to the work and ideas of other people, to only react to other people in interpersonal relationships, is to die in our tracks, but to act creatively, to take initiative, even when others criticize or ridicule us, to act creatively and with initiative is to live. Creator of the universe, creator of the natural order, creator of the life processes, creator of humanness, creator of each one of us as persons, you have set the choices before us, death and life. Help us choose life. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Please stand for the gospel lesson. Our holy gospel today is taken from the 22nd chapter of the gospel according to St. Matthew, the 34th to the 40th verses. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they came together, one of them, a teacher of the law, tried to trap Jesus with this question. Teacher, he asked, which is the greatest commandment of the law? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. The second is like it. You must love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law of Moses and the teachings of the prophets depend on these commandments. And this is the good news of the Lord. Please be seated. I'm supposed to look at the program once in a while. I'd like to introduce St. Mark's Music Group, Mike Wellings, Richie Music, and Richard and Peggy.
Your glory.
members of the stage party, 1984 graduates, parents, and friends. Today, you completing your present academic programs join a large group of devoted former graduates of the University of Alaska Fairbanks, an institution that has had a long and rich heritage. This heritage has as a foundation a number of solid building stones, one being the dedication of administrators, faculty, staff, and students to the further advancement of UAF. Such a person is your baccalaureate speaker today, Dr. Lola Cremains Tilley, a lady who is a dedicated, outstanding Alaskan and American, both in her profession and service to her fellow men. Well recognized is that the better acquainted you are with the history of the past, the better prepared you will be to pursue and accomplish your objectives in the future. Lola Tilley was born in Wayside, Illinois on January 16, 1898, the daughter of John Wesley Cremains and Samantha Jean Cremains. She graduated from Urbana High School, Urbana, Illinois, in 1916 as valedictorian and received a four-year scholarship to the University of Illinois, from which school she was awarded both the Bachelor of Arts and the Master of Science degrees. While at the university, she was elected to membership in four National Honor Societies, reflecting her outstanding work in home economics, chemistry, education, and general scholarship. Her early professional career included 2 years as head of the home economics department at Benton, Illinois High School, 4 years as dietitian and head of the home economics at the University of Minnesota Experiment Station at Morris, Minnesota, and 2 years as teacher trainer at the University of Minnesota, St. Paul. In 1929, Lola Tilley came to the Alaska Agricultural College and School of Mines as professor and head of the home economics department and taught for 29 years. She retired from the University of Alaska in 1963 at commencement ceremonies on May 27, 1963. The honorary degree of Doctor of Humanities was conferred upon her by the University of Alaska. She is also Emeritus Professor of Home Economics. Her accomplishments were many, and the quality of performance of students was paramount, as stated in her honorary degree citation. Quote, under Mrs. Tilley's leadership, the home economics department continually adopted new advances and techniques, offering an outstanding program of study to students planning careers as home economists, dietitians, or textile experts. Equally important was the rich background she provided for college women whose future lives centered around homemaking. Her guidance enriched home life in Alaska, and her teaching affected the lives of men and women in all parts of the state. End of quote. As a sidelight, in the mid-1930s, the Home Economics Food Laboratory was located on the third floor of the old main building, just across the hall from the chemistry laboratory. On occasions, both labs were used at the same time, and the tantalizing aroma of freshly baked cookies and pies permeated the chemistry laboratory, the results being twofold: a much better atmosphere than that of fuming acids from the chemist for the chemist, and occasionally the disappearing of cooling pastries from the home economics lab to participants in the chemistry lab. But that is another story, and I'm sure that Lola does not know all of the details of what went on in some of those events. You may think you do. In the early days of the university, Mrs. Tilley conducted camp cookery classes for short course mining students, practical miners from the hills and streams. The final examination was the preparation of a banquet meal. Also under the supervision of Mrs. Tilley, afternoon campus teas were given by the home ec students, with all students and faculty invited. The implication of the invitation was, "And you better be there." It seems that often the time would conflict with an underground mining class conducted in the college mine, the portal of which was near the present location of the university heating and power plant. As students would do, some mining students first attended, not in the traditional and accepted dress for such occasions, but rather in their mud-spattered diggers. Undaunted, Mrs. Tilley was not deterred, and we learned to conform to her standards, which was for the overall benefit of all. Dr. Tilley continues to be a human dynamo in terms of membership and leadership positions in numerous civic and educational organizations. She's had many honors bestowed upon her on local, state, and national levels, and she continues to receive such acclaim. Her many excellent qualities are demonstrated by the life she leads, certainly a model for all. Lola Tilley married Gray S. Tilley on May 17, 1937 in Fairbanks. She and Gray raised an adopted nephew, Gray C. Wanglin. Lola established the Gray Tilley Memorial Award and several scholarships in memory of her husband, who passed away October 19, 1973. Professor Tilley continues to be dedicated to the University of Alaska, her profession, and her many students, colleagues, associates, and friends. In other words, the public in general. Always, Lola has had the courage of her convictions, creativeness, initiative, and a determination to accomplish objectives in a forthright manner. As a longtime friend and colleague, and one who highly respects and admires this outstanding lady, I am pleased and honored to present to you Dr. Lola Tilley, your baccalaureate speaker for today's service. Dr. Tilley.
Good morning. After that, what can I say? And thank you, Earl. There's one thing I can say for Earl. He was one of the best student janitors we ever had. And he's still sweeping with a clean broom. He said that I reminded him of a professor who went on spring break one time at a very ritzy recreation center. When the professor went down to swim, there was a young lady who had just dropped her sunglasses in the water. And she asked him if he would mind retrieving them for her. And so he did. And later he said, "Why did you ask me when there's all these young college boys around?" She said, "Well, Professor, you know, I have a friend who took one of your courses. And she said you could go deeper into the subject than anybody she ever knew and come out drier." He's remembering that. When Chuck asked me to speak, I said, "Who? Me? You got to be kidding." And he said, "No, we want you." And you know how hard it is to turn down Chuck. And besides, I wanted to help him if he could call that help. We are very lucky to have him, you know, in the campus ministry. Well, I said to myself, if he thinks I can, I will. I can't let him down. And, you know, when someone has faith in you, it is much easier to believe in yourself, to stand tall, and to reaffirm your faith in God. I keep thinking of the little boy who was reciting from memory the Bible verse from the chapter, sixth chapter of Mark. The disciples were having trouble with their boat, and they were so frightened they screamed when they saw Jesus come walking toward them. And Jesus said, "Be not afraid." But the little boy was reciting this and got all confused, and he said, "Don't be scared. Ain't no one but me, and I ain't going anyplace." A sense of personal worth, of faith, trust, to love and be loved without rebuff, are basic human needs. Former students of my marriage class still remind me that I once said, one of the best things that you can do for your children is to teach them to be loving. Fortunately, today I'm surrounded by the love and concern of my many friends. I date back to 1929. My former boss, President Dr. Wood, delights in telling them that I came with the land grant. However, I don't think Chuck really realizes that it's later for me than he thinks. I find everything is farther away than it used to be. It's twice as far to the corner, for instance, and they've included a hill in that too. I've given up running for the bus. You know, it leaves faster than it used to. And it seems to me that they're making the staircases steeper than they used to make them in my days. And have you noticed that the small print they're using nowadays? Newspapers are getting farther and farther away when I hold them, and I have to squint to see the print. No use in asking to have them read aloud. Even everyone speaks in such a low tone, I can't even hear them. The material in my suit is so much tighter and skimpier than it used to be, especially in the waist and seat. Even my shoelaces are so short that they're all but impossible to reach. Even people are changing. They're so much younger than they used to be when I was their age. I ran into an old classmate recently, and he had aged so much that he didn't even recognize me. Well, I got to thinking about the old fellow this morning. And while doing so, I glanced at my own reflection in the mirror. My goodness, they don't even use the same glass in mirrors. My face looked as if it had had a lot of mileage. As you know, I've been substituting in the public schools since retirement in 63, and someone asked me, "What do you think of those high school students?" And I said, "I think they're great." And she said, "You really do? I hear they're impossible. Do they respect you?" I said, "Yes, they respect me, and I respect them too. They're people too, and not just numbers. I have an abiding faith and basic trust for a positive outlook. But there are always the doubters with a negative outlook. Like the man who said to his minister, "I'm so frightened every time I fly." And the minister said, "Why should you be? Don't you know the Lord said, 'I'm with you always'?" "Now, preacher," he said, "let's get that straight. He said, 'Lo, I'm with you always.'" I've had occasion to travel a lot in recent years, and just recently I was standing in line at the St. Louis airport when they announced that the computer was down, and that was a real blow, but happens so often, thinking negatively. But the young clerk and this woman next to me was very angry and complaining loudly. And this is a true story. The young clerk said to her, in a very sweet voice, he said, trust me, he said. And very kindly, he said, "I really know what I'm doing." And he was tapping away, trying to get through, and he did. And then this young man turned to me and he said, "What can I do for you, sweetheart?" And of course that made my day and calmed my fears. Speaking of fears, are you fearful over the loss of a loved one? Do you fear what the future holds for you? Are you afraid of a lack of security or illness or even death? Are you afraid of your children or your spouse, your wife or your husband? Are you afraid of losing something that is of value to you? Are you afraid of being unable to cope with challenges? Are you afraid someone will stop loving you or accept you, will not accept you? Well, I say, do not be ashamed of such fears or feel guilty if you are afraid, for everyone has experienced fear. All through the scriptures, we read of those who were tempted with feelings of fear. Abraham knew fear, but turned to God. But as he too turned to faith, affirming, "I will fear no evil," he was strengthened and victorious. There is nothing to fear. But God has placed a spirit within you that is greater than anything that can ever happen to you. Greater is the spirit within you than anything that is in this world. Mightier is the presence of God within you than any challenge in life. Stronger is the spirit within you than any test of your faith or understanding. Fear can actually become an ally as it pushes you farther and insistently into calling on your own innate faith. Now I would like to close by quoting a popular prayer for the aging. That's for me. Lord, thou knowest better than I would know myself that I'm growing old. Keep me from the fatal habit of thinking I must say something on every subject and on every occasion. Release me from craving to straighten out everybody's affairs. Make me thoughtful but not moody, helpful but not bossy. With my vast store of knowledge and wisdom, it seems a pity not to use it all. But thou knowest, Lord, that I want a few friends left in the end. Keep my mind free from recital of endless details, and give me wings to get to the point. Seal my lips on my aches and pains. They are increasing, and love of reciting them is becoming sweeter as the years go by. I dare not ask for grace to enjoy the tales of others' pain, but help me to endure with patience. I dare not ask improved memory, but for growing humility and lessening cocksureness. When my memory seems to clash with the memory of others, teach me the glorious lesson that occasionally I might be mistaken. Keep me reasonably sweet. I do not want to be a saint. Some of them are hard to live with. But a sour old person is the growing work of the devil. Give me the ability to see good in unexpected places and talents in unexpected people. And give me, O Lord, the grace to tell them so. By the way, did Chuck ever tell you about the time he appeared in the pulpit with a Band-Aid on his face? He apologized, saying that he cut himself while shaving that morning because he was thinking about his sermon. Later, in the collection plate, there was a note, and it said, "Suggest you think about your face and cut the sermon." And you see, he hasn't shaved since. Well, it's about time to cut the sermon, isn't it? But Chuck told me that I could talk as long as I wanted, but the rest of you are going to lunch at 11:30 in spite of how long I talk. So may I just say, and now may the road rise up to meet you. May the wind be ever at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face. May the rain fall gentle on your field. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand.
Yes, but what I'm saying to you is the next question. Lola, you were marvelous. We knew you would be. It was wonderful. Thank you for all who have participated today, and for all of you for being here, and welcome to a wonderful, wonderful day. There's one other thing I do want to mention. The cover of our bulletin is taken from a mural which is in the library, and you probably noticed by now that the last two pages are descriptions of the scenes in that mural. So you might, if you have some time today, want to see it. It's in the main section of the library on the third floor. Shall we sing our closing hymn and then have our benediction?
Keep us. May the Lord let his face shine upon us and be gracious to us. May the Lord look upon us with kindness this day and always, and grant us his peace. Amen.